Well, welcome to the first episode of Out of Character. That's not so much out of character. Where we... well, this first episode is going to be a little bit different because we need to go back and go through what happened in one of our lost episodes of Monster of the Week. So we're going to be dropping the meta shield pretty hard here and speaking about what happened in the episode and some character reactions. So this time around, we have three quarters of the Sturzingers here. So,
the other quarter.
Yeah, like
it's Matt because he's not. His name isn't technically.
It would be two thirds.
Yeah. What?
It would be two thirds.
No, no, no. There is the brother we don't talk about.
That is true.
There is a secret one.
There is a secret.
You keep him in the closet.
Also, the rest of the cast is here viewing quietly.
Not so quietly.
Yeah, not quietly. Oh boy.
Filmed in front of a live studio audience.
Yeah, 30 seconds in. We're already on the show.
Okay.
All right. So we're reviewing what? You sure?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, no, no. It's fine. Get it out of your system.
I'm just like seeing Eric like turtle in his.
Oh yeah, you can't see it. It's off camera, but he's like. Anyway, so yeah, we will be reviewing episode. What was this? Episode 10.
Yes, 10.
Yeah, okay. So it's a lost episode, so, we need to kind of go over, what happened because it's probably not going to be airing anytime soon, so, to hopefully fill that void of information, we have this show. So, yeah, we'll start off. So, in that particular episode, everybody started in Texas after episode 9, where the crew had discovered the brazier in an old church and had dealt with the fire elemental down below the church itself. Olivia had absorbed the powers as soon as the item had sucked in the elemental and had almost exploded. But Henrietta had gone into the spirit realm and had assisted in the not blowing up part. Everybody was outside after the battle. There is a dragon loose in Texas now, by the way. Just a reminder.
Whoops, we fucking left that shit there.
I'm sure it won't be a problem later on.
Krampus comes in riding the dragon.
Oh, man, what?
Oh,
followed
no.
Followed by the tire man.
Right?
Oh, gosh, everything. And the fire,
and
like...
Are we the baddies? The fireman.
What?
From...
Are we the baddies?
Maybe.
We're the pre-apocalypse.
Yep.
Whoops.
There were signs.
Apocalypse?
But everybody was outside, and Mr. Gray got a call on his cell phone telling him that he needed to make it up to the East Coast as soon as possible. So everybody hopped in Ever's van and took a long 20-plus hour drive from Texas to Massachusetts, where, of course, Danica had to stop in every state and grab a shot glass and a t-shirt. What does Mr. Gray think of Danica having to grab these t-shirts? I want to know.
I've actually never really thought about it. I don't know that he cares. Like, there, I mean, when there's important things to be done, it's probably like, come on, like, we, I keep on having this internal reminder that, like, we're trying to stop an apocalypse. I don't know that the shot glasses are going to matter.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, everybody gets on the road and, Gray actually decides to stop in D.C. of all places, where Danica's father works as a senator, and the car had run out of gas near a Dankin' Donuts, and I believe that there was a spell, a quicken spell, that was used on Mr. Gray to go get gas with a jerry can. Yes.
became an Olympic sprinter for a moment.
Yeah, and Henrietta had stayed with the van while the other three had decided to go get some coffee. And when the other three emerged from Dunkin' Donuts, there was a limousine there. And sure enough, Danica's father decided to pay a visit to the trio and invited them into the limo for a ride. And Henrietta had noticed this a little too late, right before Gray had gotten back with the canisters. So when he got there, they tried to fill up the van as quickly as possible and follow the limousine in an attempt to, I guess, stop or meet up with the limo. What was going through Henrietta's mind? I mean, not only, you know, a few members of the party, but especially Olivia was
right
in the hands of a known evilish person.
Right. I mean, you know, I think to answer that question, you have to just look at Henrietta from the start. I mean, who is she? She's a woman who she broke, like, she feels like she broke this ultimate covenant of a mother. Like, she lost her son to a monster. And so, like, she is constantly trying to redeem herself in that fashion. And you have Olivia, who she raised from a 10-year-old till now, and you have all these other young girls hanging around that she feels like a mother to them all. And so, you know, she's not going to, you know, so easily let them slip from her view, and she's going to do everything in her power up to and past death to keep them safe.
Fair enough, which I think almost happens later on, but we'll get to that in a second. So, yeah, the limousine basically does a big loop of a few blocks and actually comes back to its original resting place in front of Dunkin' Donuts and lets the girls out. Danica, having received a new cell phone and a new credit card from her father, and the three emerge what seemed to be unscathed from the limousine. And they continue the journey on up towards Massachusetts. On the drive, Olivia tries to, well, actually first Mr. Gray tries to, on the way, contact somebody who can be his eyes on the ground in the area that they're heading towards. And that person contacts him back, but is probably murdered. There was some nice guttural sounds, and yeah, anyway. So, I mean, at least Mr. Gray doesn't have to pay for that particular one. He did say something about about rescinding the payments that he had paid.
I'm gonna need a chargeback on that.
Yep, yep.
Hey, look, if you don't have to spend money on something,
silver lining to every tragedy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of person he is. Like, bad things happen. Oh, well, I can make something out of this. Like, he's a criminal.
Right? There's opportunities everywhere.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Gray actually had Olivia peer onto the person that was supposed to have been keeping eyes out for it, and she comes back with the information that he is absolutely dead and like almost eaten away at, and that she also saw like a number of people doing really weird things in this cul-de-sac that she was viewing or scrying, and that they're like people like standing in windows at odd hours of the night. There's even a mailman, people doing gardening like 10 o'clock at night kind of thing. So some really weird things happening in this cul-de-sac. When the group gets there, you guys see something in the middle of the road and try to ram into it, and it ends up being an hourglass with a girl inside, and the van itself, once it hits the hourglass, kind of, I believe, or no, Dardanus was on top of the hourglass, and he kind of rolled the van over onto its side with everybody in it, and,
I was driving, I believe, at the time. I was the one that decided to swerve and flip the van. Yeah,
that's what it was, because you had saw the girl. I had to remember. Yeah.
We thought it was something else, and then we realized, oh, that's a giant hourglass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We
were, with a little girl thinking, inside.
Let's not hit it. So.
Yep. So that's what happened. Sometimes I need a reminder. That was a while ago, too. So
yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah. Anyway, so you swerve the van. It lands on its side. And you step out. Henrietta, you're the first one out of the van, actually, I believe. And you had climbed up out of the driver's side and got out of the van. And you are confronted by Dardanus. And... suddenly you saw the visage of the Wendigo that he had summoned to his side, and it was the Wendigo with the scar that you recognized that had taken Henrietta's son. So, I mean, was there any kind of, oh, he's doing, like, from my perspective, I guess the question is, was there any, like, oh, he's doing this here kind of thing, or...
I guess at the time, like, Travis was thinking, like, oh, really? This is where this is going? Like, you know, because first episode, like, we were on a Wendigo, it wasn't the right one, you know, but, then you pop this on me, I was like, in the middle of the elementals, like, right here? Why now, you know? And, like, so, to me, like, I was just like, oh, okay. Okay, I guess we're going for it. Whatever, you know, like, it's go time. You know, and I think that's exactly what Henrietta was thinking. It's like, okay, you know, back to what I said before, the breaking of the covenant of protecting your child, like, she is always ready for that day. Like, any opportunity she possibly has to right the wrongs of her past, she is there to... take care of business. And so when she saw that, there was no question, like, this is the one. Even if it was some dirty trick by Dardanus, like, this is the time.
Enough excuse to
yeah, this Wendigo is dead.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question, he's dying before this fight is over.
And here's a bomb I'm going to drop on all of you, see if you actually paid attention when I did do a big lore drop on the elementals to begin with. Back when you got some of the lore back in the construct about the elementals and the titans, the elementals and the titans, when humans were introduced to the world, did experiment on them, because that's just what they did to the lower beings. So if you haven't noticed, they're able to create these beings within their kind of field of expertise. So when you saw Dardanus making small Wendigos in Sioux Falls, that's his thing. He's able to do that. And when you saw Lycurgus make a dragon, he's able to do that. So
right, yeah. I did kind of piece that together, like, oh yeah, Dardanus was at the start, and so, like, it's very fitting that he's, like, there right now, you know, and that so I kind of noticed a little bit of that, but yeah, it was. End of the day, like, it was an intense moment for me and Henrietta to face down the Wendigo and Dardanus in the same spot.
So, actually, I'm kind of curious then. You said that Henrietta would not have actually cared if it was the same one or not, but does she think it was?
Oh, yeah, in her mind, like, every Wendigo...
yeah.
Is her chance to redeem herself. Like, I guess
so. She'll eliminate every single last one she comes across.
Oh, definitely. And the fact that it had all the right scars, the, you know, the right markings, like, the it had to go.
Yeah.
Because she's not taking a chance. Oh, that is go. Not. Wendigo had to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was. She's not taking the chance, whether it's a dirty trick or not. So that's where she stands.
Absolutely. So, yeah. We'll see if you guys remember it. But, yeah. I mean, obviously, these elementals are able to corrupt humans and make them into creatures to be hunted, so keep that in mind. But what? No, I don't threaten people.
You're gonna have to fight Undine's next.
Air.
For the water.
Air, your soul. Yes.
So, yeah, so Henrietta steps out of this van to, confront this Wendigo. Next one out of the van was, actually Mr. Gray, and you, crawled out the back hatch and, saw this girl in the sand, and, you know, we've known for a while that Mr. Gray is protective of children, Is this particular child the reason why you're protective of children, or have there been other instances that we haven't gotten to?
Well, that is some of it. I think one of the biggest things is, yeah, so being that there is one in particular that he really believes deeply in the care for, but also, while yes, he is a criminal, there is a purpose to all of his bad dealings. And we kind of hit a tiny bit of it early on, where the way Henrietta and Gray met was actually saving a child slavery ring. So he's always just kind of had that. He feels like he was wronged, but that there's still a future for children. Like they haven't experienced what he has, and hopefully maybe they never have to.
Fair enough. So yeah, it definitely seemed that that's where Gray's focus was trying to attack this hourglass and get the child out. The next one out of the van, I do believe, was Olivia, and she had crawled out after Henrietta and had recognized the Wendigo and had started attempting to help. But Dardanus notices this and notices how protective of Olivia Henrietta is, and so sicks the Wendigo on Olivia, but a number of times Henrietta forces her way and takes the damage that Olivia would have taken, to the point of being basically at full harm and powering through that. Is that trying to channel, you know, not being women, of course, but trying to channel that motherly, you know, go beyond kind of.
Oh, yeah. It's like, at that point, you know, Henrietta saw her quarry, you know. She saw this little family she'd kind of built here over the last few, you know, weeks and months and years in the case of Olivia. And she wasn't going to let anything stop her. And, you know, so that's where I find I'd had that kind of on the back burner, that ability. And now is the time to pop it off. And so
good as time as any.
Yeah. I think at that point, like, Henrietta was like, it's do or die. And she wasn't going to die. So
that's fair. yeah. And, next out the van, of course, was Dawn, and she slid the slide door on the van open, and she tried to assist in throwing some magic at the hourglass to assist in getting the child out of the hourglass, but also noticed that there was a gun, a van-mounted minigun, and had informed Danica of this particular instance. So, what? Oh, yes. Yep. We did get a review that, Danica's sword, they did a little bit of magic on the way and had found out that Danica's sword now housed the spirit of somebody known as Arthur, and that the sword had sketchings on it that revealed it, as probably Excalibur. But the lore, built on the sword said that, any sword, it can be Excalibur, as long as it houses this Arthurian spirit. So, so she sets that loose on Dardanus and keeps him a little bit busy. But she goes towards the gun and starts rattling off, rounds at Dardanus, which definitely makes him awfully mad. And, he ends up upturning the van against the one of the stone walls that he had erected around so you could not escape the area. And both Dawn and Danica had gone flying through the air in the van itself. And as it was flying, Danica was still shooting the gun, had managed to get a few rounds off on Dardanus, and Dawn had managed to send some fire spells out at his head as well. So I'd like to know each of your individual thoughts as you see the van like spinning in air on its side, and there's just this rotation of gunfire and actual fire coming out of the side door.
Oh, that was some, like, next level A-team shit. I don't know, it's the kind of thing that me personally really wants to see that, like, recreated in, like, a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if it, like, it were, like,
some kind anime of scene,
right? Like, yeah. I just want to see it, because, like, I'm picturing it in my head, it was the most insane, cool, like, what is happening moment that I think it's, but Gray is probably just like,
yeah, that's happening, huh?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Utilizing the opportunities given to you. Okay.
I think Henrietta was probably a little too busy.
She was. She was busy, so that was kind of in the peripheral. But, you know, I think, you know, shit's getting blown up and just flying through the air. Like if things weren't dire before, it's definitely dire at that point, you know. And so, you know, I think that's kind of what led her to, you know, next charging Dardanus with her cane in tow and... you know, getting ready for the big showdown.
That's fair. Yeah, no, I think personally for me, it's probably one of my favorite action scenes in the series so far. Right after, the whole Tire Man incident. Yes. That whole car chase is probably one of my favorite as well.
I'm sure that won't haunt anyone.
Oh man. But yeah, that it was definitely one of my favorites. But yeah, the van gets smashed against the side, ending any chance to use the gun, and also Danica and Dawn taking quite a bit of damage being stuck in a smashed van. But yeah, as we go on, as you said, now that you had finally vanquished the Wendigo, is there a bit of relief in Henrietta? Is she relieved, or is she still in that state of like?
No, it's at that point. It's just there is clear and present danger, and
she hasn't had time to kind of think it through yet.
Unfortunately for Henrietta, there never seems to be downtime for her. You know, it's just, what's the next threat? What's the next threat? And I think that's maybe why she hasn't focused on this dream walking that she's been kind of... She's kind of the heir to this... the heiress to this this power, you know, and to, you know, it's almost like she was handed, you know, leadership after Thomas Reinhorst died, you know, and she hasn't had time to even process that because we're always in the shit, and when you're not in the shit, you're just like trying to heal yourself and like just get ready for the next volley because it's coming and you know it is. And so I think she was just like, okay, check that off my list next.
Yeah.
Since we haven't really had a moment to talk about it, I'll ask another question. I mean, just again, dropping the metal shield, it wasn't probably something that you had seen your character going to do, but it was something that I wanted to add in just because there is a lot of, you know, Henrietta is a Native American, and there's a lot of lore around dreamwalking, and I don't feel like they really touched on it, but barely in the Supernatural universe, which we are basing our monster of the week on. So I wanted to bring it really to that forefront. What did you think the first time now, and then like now that she's practiced a little bit on the dreamwalking?
Yeah, I mean, when you first introduced it, it was like, oh, this is a road we're going down. Okay, it never even occurred to me, you know, to do that. And I don't know if it was just like, you know, like Henrietta, she's just a woman, you know, she might have this past, you know, and her past, like, I don't think I've really divulged a whole lot about it. Outside of anything that's happened since Olivia, since she rescued Olivia, but, like she, before all this, like she didn't really buy into her own culture. She had kind of like, she was almost like severing herself from her people at that point. And so she just wanted to be normal or regarded as normal. She wanted to have this so-called American dream that everyone had and, you know, have a nice house and raise her son and just be left alone. And, you know, spoiler alert, some of her backstory does, like, people warned her that, you know, shunning your past, it's going to bring a curse on you. And so, you know, this whole time she just thinks it's all hooey, but here she is, you know, just being dragged into this world of dreamwalking and of spirits and demons and shit. And
knee deep in it now.
Yeah. And so, you know, now that she's done it a couple times, I think she's having a little bit of an awakening. But again, no downtime to process this information. She's just reaching and grasping and holding tight to whatever she clings to. So, you know, now that she's kind of done it a few times, you know, it's like, this is a resource. That's all it is to her. And a means to an end, you know. And I think it really showed in this Lost episode that, unfortunately, sorry, guys, that, yeah, she's just like, hey, if this can do something, I'm going to use it. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take it as far as it'll go.
Fair enough. So yeah, you guys focus your efforts on Dardanus, and because you realize that not a lot of damage was getting done to this hourglass, and it was trickling sand from the top, covering this little girl. At this point, she just is barely able to keep a nose and a hand above the rising sand inside. And it's at that point, Gray, you remember back to your time in the cell, when you were under arrest and he had come to pay you a visit, and you had that trinket from your plane and had realized that, oh yeah, you know what, this is the cornerstone, this is exactly what we need at the moment. So you toss it to Henrietta, and since she's in melee, and she attaches it to her staff and starts absorbing Dardanus into the artifact, and it takes a while to realize he's trying to bust through this artifact and trying to free himself, and it takes a little while to connect those dots, but eventually you think back to Texas and get Olivia to get her hands on the cornerstone there, and she ends up absorbing all of the energy from Dardanus, and as she does so, you know, it seems like she's either going to explode or something else, and she tells everyone to get away, and like this earthen cocoon starts to form around her. But at that same time, the hourglass returns to sand and gets sucked back into the cornerstone as she's absorbing this energy. What's Mr. Gray's feeling as he... You know, you haven't really connected the dots yet. The sand's filling up. This girl is almost covered completely in sand.
There definitely is some panic that's starting to set in. You know, a few shots and a fireball have at least started to make a mark on the hourglass. But, you know, the thought of... We may not be able to break this. So, yeah, I feel like the realizing that cornerstone was definitely a that eureka moment for him. But building up to that point, it was like everything that he's been trying to do, every decision he's ever made, was reaching that point of it may have actually just all been for nothing.
I imagine that had you not gotten the little girl out of the hourglass, she's important to you, but he has not said how important yet, or at least has not revealed that to the group. And I imagine since she's important that there would have been a darker turn had you not been able to get her out in time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can say for sure that no one has seen how dark Gray can really be. But I feel like if things didn't work out there, it would have actually been a black hole, if it were, for the kind of person he would end up becoming.
So are we talking dark gray or charcoal gray?
Oh!
Ooh.
Word puns.
I don't know. A few speckles in there somewhere.
Well, we've already seen Gray make some questionable decisions during certain points.
There's definitely some dark moments, and he said some things that kind of point to, like, he's willing to do some very bad things, but also he'll do bad things for a good outcome. You know, like it's that his moral lines have blurred. Because of the things that have happened to him, to where, again, it's he with kids, like he believes they have a future. And if some of it is, if I can do these things so that they don't have to, then they don't have to, like, know the pain of having to do evil shit in order to make a good outcome, you know? So. There's always this talk of like, oh, well, we have to do right. You know, it's fun to see the good guys always trying to like ride that good moral line. But sometimes, you know, you can't do that. You have to do the wrong thing to have the right outcome.
That's fair. So back to Olivia, absorbing this particular power. She kind of cocoons herself up. Henrietta again dream walks in there and is there for Olivia. There are a number of like earthquake size discharges from the cocoon, and it ends up like setting everything off in the neighborhood. Lights are flickering, some cars have been turned over, you know. There's definitely and it's odd for Massachusetts. Massachusetts doesn't really get earthquakes. I mean, so we'll see what the we'll see what there's bigger ramifications there. But it seems like this power is about to explode again. But she's able to handle it again with Henrietta assisting. Comes out of the cocoon and is completely unconscious again, just because having absorbed this elemental's power is. A massive drain on her. Henrietta picks her up and Gray picks up this girl, who is seemingly also unconscious. And you guys hear...
Oh? I think you forgot the fact that Henrietta soon passed out after the fight was done because her rage ended. And
yep.
there was... She was unconscious. Luckily, Dawn was there and patched her up. And I think she patched up Olivia, too, a little bit, so...
Well, Olivia wasn't really damaged because Henrietta had actually taken all of the damage. She was just unconscious, so she did attempt to heal her, but she wasn't coming to because of, you know, having absorbed that energy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Dawn did come in clutch and healed Henrietta up. You guys get these two girls into another nearby minivan because you can't take the other van because it is crushed. But you guys get in the van as you guys hear sirens and emergency services starting to make its way towards you guys. And you don't need that on you. But before you take off, one of the people and the walls that were around the cul-de-sac blocking you in had eroded as well. And now one of the people who had been acting very strange, you see them now. One of them actually walks up to the van as Mr. Gray's sitting shotgun and leans in and speaks to him. The eye is turning completely black, and him being reminded that he is contractually bound, reminding him that he does have a duty to perform. And this is the first time a couple of the others actually see that there are other things going on as well. Demons in particular. And Gray pulls his gun out and blast this this person in the face, and they just kind of shrug it off, and everybody is a little odd to see that. But you guys take off and see a horrific scene behind you in the lights that are on in the cul-de-sac, as all of these people who had been doing weird things suddenly like draw knives and slit the throats of their host bodies, and this giant mass of black smoke appears in the sky. You guys get probably about two blocks away when all of a sudden the little girl wakes up. Gray, I'm sure you know you're awfully happy to see that, but unfortunately the little girl wasn't who she appeared to be, and she sticks a hand right in your gut, and it turns out the illusion fades, and she ends up being Elpis, the water elemental.
There was a little part of me that was wondering if this was gonna be another trick. Wasn't expecting this, though, nor was I expecting to get skewered in the gut.
Too good to be true.
Yeah. I think with her, you know, Gray's really reaching that point of like, I'm about done with you.
She has been stalking you for quite a while, yeah. So
it's never been a pleasant meeting with her. Like, I think we've encountered the other two before, and they weren't full-on aggression, right? But like, her is like, every time it's just, what are you doing?
she does definitely seem to, or at least I try to portray it off as, she's got this creepy obsession with Gray especially, so
yeah. And that's part of the whole like, yeah, this is unhealthy, you know, you gotta stop, girl.
Like, I'm taken, man. But, yeah, I mean, getting that nice jab in the guts, I'm sure, and also, when you guys were running from the elementals, after the whole Lycurgus burning down, the wake, she had also, jumped in the car and had specifically targeted you there as well, so...
I almost forgot about that.
And before that, when Danica and Dawn had met her in one of the gas stations, she was specifically looking for you as well, yeah. So...
Yeah, because they thought, like... And then that started the whole, like, is she your daughter? And I believe at that point we had christened her the Slushy Girl.
Yep, because she had, when they met her, she had just, like, had her head underneath the slushy machine and was going to town.
I feel like I've seen that in a movie somewhere.
Encino Man, you know.
Yeah, you got a stalker.
Yeah.
Mm. She likes your
face. She's unpleasant.
there's that particular instance going around, Henrietta, you were conscious enough to be driving at this
point. I hotwired this car.
You did. Yep. Yes, you did.
And I see Gray gain skewered, turn into a gray kebab. Yep. And I yell, "Seatbelts, everyone," and I slam the brakes.
So just leading into the next episode, a little bit of spoiler on the next one, there just a little bit, just because Travis actually isn't there in that particular episode. We'll give him a little bit of a tease of what's going on. So you say seatbelts, and the only one who actually had their seatbelts on was Danica.
Danica.
She's been thrown out of three cars. Well, two cars, but one car twice.
That's fair. Yep.
She learned. Seatbelts.
Imagine getting thrown out of the same car twice.
I'm tired of getting thrown out of this damn car.
In an airplane, we've been in a lot of crashes. She learned the importance of seatbelts.
And in the 80s, of all places.
What are those?
The more you know.
Right. So, wear your seatbelt, kids. Yeah, you say seatbelts and slam on the brakes, and the only one that had their seatbelt on is Danica, and as you say seatbelts, just a spoiler for the rest episode, Alpus actually ends up, like, she shards out into these water-style tentacles and freezes them and just skewers everybody, including yourself, with these as she is... seatbelting. I mean, she's keeping herself in place as you slam on the brakes. And she skewers you as well, and she actually uses one of her tentacles to actually yank that steering wheel away from you and put it to the side. So you unfortunately will lose this van as something... As you do not have your seatbelt on either, as you had been driving, so we'll leave it at that as to what exactly happens there, because we don't want to spoil it for Travis either, because he has not seen the episode yet.
So. Just know, the next episode starts with chaos.
Yes, always chaos.
We do have a habit of having those kind of starts, which is great.
It gets a little bit better after that.
Things chill in the middle.
Yep.
I did picture that the start of the following episode, just like in my head, I had imagined it being kind of like, you know, and those were like the beginning of it is like it's slow motion and there's like that classical music playing as things are just like going to hell.
Yep. Cars in the air and yeah, people like, are
that's
flying
kind of
everywhere.
Just how I was imagining the beginning of that going, right?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
exactly. A happy, like, classical 80s style music. Yeah, yep. Chariots of Fire.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I mean, now, try not to, we'll ask at least, we'll ask Christian not to try to spoil too much of the episode, but yeah. At this point, like, what is going through his head as this car is turning over? You have this hand in your gut. This isn't the girl that you had rescued, or had intended to rescue. It is instead this elemental who has this obscene obsession with you.
Yeah, so I think the best way you could really pin that down is just kind of back to what I was saying earlier. The whole, like, girl, you gotta stop. Like, you gotta back off a little.
Girl.
Yeah, no, it really... There were a few straws to begin with for this relationship. and I think
so that you're shipping yourself now?
It was kind of man. The last one. He's definitely hoping there's going to be a conclusion to it soon.
That's fair. I guess with the little bit of... spoiler that we did give to you, Henrietta, what are you expecting out of this next episode? Since you don't know what's going on, you're flying through the air.
I'm expecting a fucking vacation.
Might just get that.
I think, God, what's going through her head? Like, I think just backing the train up a little bit, like, she... When Olivia was in their Earth cocoon, like she's seen this twice now, where Olivia goes into these like elemental cocoons where she's like absorbing these powers, like for the sake of everyone else, and like I think the thing going through Henrietta's head here is just failure. Like, she feels like she's not protecting Olivia to the best of her ability, like, but she's also helpless. Like, what can you do against, like, powers that literally shape the Earth? And, you know, and she doesn't understand what Olivia is. She thought, you know, for years she knew what she was. She was just this poor girl wrapped up in some cult. But now it's not cut and dry anymore, you know. It's
not that simple.
No, it's very complex. And so, like, and you know, here she thought she had a win driving off here, you know, like, you know, we got Lycurgus, got the Wendigo, and she's still standing. And like, then all of a sudden this shit hits, and it's just like, oh no, not again. You know, very much like the plant in Hitchhiker's Guide. That's Henrietta's story. Like, I'm not saying there's plenty of comedy in this show, but, you know, Henrietta's story is pretty much all tragedy, just. And so it's just par for the course, really.
Fair enough. So we got a couple minutes left here. I just want to give you guys the opportunity to ask me any questions. I will try to answer any questions without giving away too much of what is going to be going on in the future. But if you have any questions, even old episodes here, anything up to this particular episode, I will try to answer, as best as I can.
Ooh.
So this is a golden opportunity to get in the head of the keeper.
Okay.
Well.
So, okay. Here's one. I'll start it off.
Yeah, go
ahead. Okay.
All right. Session one.
All right. Oh, man, you're going to make me go back. All right.
All right. But broad general question. Doesn't even have to do with the story.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think? Because... that was our first episode ever. What did you think when he showed up with a bunch of cameras and shit?
Oh, man. This is a shield down question. And so we had talked about filming our D&D sessions just for fun and starting off. And we hadn't even begun to film our D&D sessions yet. And it was going to be one of those weekends where we were actually where we were missing Eric. So I decided to run a one shot, and it was one of those things where we were actually hosting at our house at that particular time. And all of a sudden Christian comes in with this backpack with cameras and tripods and all of this other stuff. And I was like, oh, we're doing this now. Oh, okay. I was surprised by it, but at the same time, I was like, okay, we're doing this. And it's really rough to go back and watch that or listen to those episodes just because I'm like, Oh, man. I mean, I still try to correct some of my ums and ahs and all of that stuff. It still happens. And, like, at the same time, I feel like I wasn't ready voice-wise. Because I was like, oh, God, no, not that voice. But I think, thinking back on it, I'm actually glad that we kind of captured it. Because there was an instance at the very beginning when we were actually introducing Olivia and Henrietta, and you guys were the first characters that we'd actually introduced, and at that point I had the TV set up behind me, and you can't really see it in the video, but I'd actually made up an article for The Missing Child, and I had it on the TV in the background, and I think my favorite part was that nobody had noticed that, like, I just had it in the background. I don't think anybody actually kind of read it. And uh-huh. then Matt goes, oh, God, you actually made that. And that was probably my favorite part. Like, I'm glad it was captured. So, yeah, I'm glad that we started recording, because even, like, I appreciate you guys watching along, and I hope you enjoy this. But at the same time, it's a lot for us, too, just to go back and watch and enjoy and see things. So, yeah, that's my answer for it.
Pretty good.
Your turn.
Yeah. I don't even know.
How do I follow that?
Yeah. Gosh, I can't even, like, I don't know what kind of questions I really want to ask.
Well, come on. I didn't even prep mine.
Yeah. Well,
that was off the cuff.
Yeah, but that was great.
Now I'm on the spot.
I'm like, oh, damn it.
I mean, you could think of another one, and if Travis has another one.
You know what? So I know that this all kind of started as, like, well, you know, we're down a player, but we still want to do something. We'll just do a one-shot. And, of course, here we are.
Filming 11,
and,
technically.
And filming a... I screwed up, so let's fix this.
You didn't screw up. I mean, technology talks. You didn't screw up.
So
I want to take a moment here just to appreciate Christian right now for editing all of our episodes and doing an amazing job with audio and taking that time out. He works full-time job anyway. Yeah, I'm going to make you blush a little. He takes he has a full-time job, but he takes the time out of his day, because he also streams to fix the audio, make us look good, make us sound good. So,
and shameless plug from the audience, watch Sturzy on Twitch. He streams Tuesday through Thursday and Saturday.
Yes, a member of the audience is right. Please tune in.
Subscribe.
Yep,
live stream.
I'm usually in the chat. You can talk to me.
if you have one of those Prime subscriptions that's just laying around gathering dust, you know, you hand it over to a hardworking streamer here. So.
Yep.
That was okay.
Finish your question.
Shameless
plug. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, this started as just like, well, let's. And I know there was mention of, oh, well, we can record it so that he can watch it, since he won't be there, but
yep.
And then we're just kind of still going. So I guess at what point along that route did you go, oh, this is probably not going to be a one shot anymore?
I think it was actually, and I mean, I had led into a second episode because, I had Eric make a character, and I wanted to introduce him because, you know, I don't want anybody to feel left out. I also did the same thing for our mystery one shot, which you guys should go watch because it's amazing. I don't like to leave anybody out, but when Eric went back and watched it, and he said, I really liked that, and when you go back and watch the second episode, and no offense to Eric, but he, you know, he's new to RPing, and, you know, that's no offense at all, but it's hard when you're a new RPer to get into a character, to get into the role-playing aspect, especially in a very heavy role-playing system, which Monster of the Week definitely is. It's hard to get into that mindset right away because, you know, we've been playing D&D for a while together, so I would say that we're comfortable with each other, but we're not all 100% comfortable with the characters that we are trying to embody. We don't know those characters yet, especially when they're new. But we're all getting a little bit better at it. Hopefully you guys enjoy that. But when I go back and watch that second episode, and we did the kind of, I guess, like memory of Dawn seeing her mom in the hospital room, the vision that Dardanus was trying to place in her head, and Eric doing some of the best RP that I've seen him do during that particular moment, like that made me feel good as a keeper and then want to keep doing this. And then it just kept getting crazier from there, and I love every moment of it. You know, if I could go back and name my top moments, they'd be every episode, because something amazing happens in every episode. The third episode of Danica shunting shunting Henry out of a plane, the tire man, the 3.5, 4.5 episode of Henrietta and Olivia trying to make their way out of the basement, and Olivia dying, basically. And then in the next episode, where we have a good callback to, you know, all these old films, these horror films in the 80s, like just trying to put things in there that I know make people uncomfortable, like for Eric, Tommyknockers, and Candyman was, it got a good impression out. I really like that.
Candyman scared me a lot for some reason.
And then, yeah, just all of that. I love making these episodes. I hope we keep making them as enjoyable for you guys as it is for us to film it. So, yeah. All right. Oh, did you have any other questions? I think that's our time for today. So
yeah. No, I think we covered a lot today. A whole episode.
Normally we won't be doing that in future episodes. This episode was just to cover the lost episode, as it were, because we had some technical difficulties. But we hope you guys watch this episode to get a recap of that one. Watch the new one when it comes out. And yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully next time we do one of these, we can just sit around on a couch and eat cheesecake and chit-chat and, yeah. You know. That's the hard question.
We do. I will actually go ahead and throw an announcement. We do have another form of our new show here. Like today for D&D, because we
had a lost episode there as well.
So we do have another one like this coming at some point. But then after that, I think, the format will change to be a little less structured in this manner, but
yeah, we'll get a couch, a couple of plants, you know.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, this has been Out of Character, and we hope to see you guys on Friday.
Are you wondering what your favorite wacky nerds are up to? Search for Campaigns of the Planes on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook, and make sure to follow and like us to keep up with all our content and news. You might also find exclusive content for fans only. Remember to catch us on YouTube every Friday at noon for a new episode of Campaigns of the Planes.